Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 25. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, brother man, what's going on?
Nothing too much, brother. Are we going to brother the heck out of this?
We're gonna brother it.
Brother, yeah. Brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Harrison pointed out to me, he said there was one episode he listened to, and he's like, you guys didn't say brother. And I was like, we don't say brother all the time. He's like, aww. You say brother all the time. And I'm like, so we just have to brother it up.
That's funny.
Everybody's going to have to get the clicker out and count how many times we say brother.
Exactly.
That's funny because both of my kids
don't do a drinking game.
Why do you dads call each other brother all the time? I go, it is. It's just what we do. Okay. Leave me alone.
Better than saying sister. Hey, yeah. Sister. What's up, sister?
Yeah.
So, that'd be a little weird. That'd be really creepy, right?
So Harrison's keeping track of the brother count.
He is. Well, at least I know he's listening, right?
Yeah, that's at least. So
this, yeah. This was kind of a shout out to him, I guess.
Yeah. My daughter doesn't listen. She couldn't care less.
Olivia, don't tell me that.
I mean, she likes the fact that we're doing it, but then she doesn't really listen.
Claire.
Elijah does. He's just a little bit behind, but, you know.
Well, at least they went on.
He's
making an effort.
They went on the ghost hunt with you, so we got to give him some street cred for that. And Claire is more like it used to be. She just give me dirty looks when I talk about the podcast. But nowadays I tell her like, hey, what do you think about this topic we're going to talk about? And she's kind of like, yeah, that's not bad. So I'm at least going up, you know, like in her stock. I'm at one right now.
That's great.
Out of who knows what.
Yeah, right.
Thousands.
Just take what we can get, man.
What is it based on?
At least I'm not on the negative anymore.
Yeah. Nate, you doing all right?
Yeah, doing good.
So we're back at it and... Couple episodes to record tonight.
Oh, is this recording right now? Oh, I thought this was like practice.
Are you tap? Is this on?
Hello.
I'll start now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, go.
Okay,
it's
Sean,
time. Yeah.
Turn your mic on. It's on. It's
oh,
live.
Man.
Go. Yeah. I told Elijah. I said, "Do you want to fill in for me tonight?" He goes, "Yeah." What are we talking about? I said, "Werewolves." He goes, "Well, okay. Yeah, I can do that."
He's like, "I'm there."
He goes, "Do you have notes?" I said, "Well, yeah." He's like, do I just read them? I go, well, they don't read them. I said, sometimes you do, but if you're telling
me, you're like, if you're
story,
Sean, yeah. You're going to read it.
I said, you just kind of, you know, you have your nose. Yeah. And he was like, but he has soccer practice. So.
Okay.
He goes, well.
It didn't get flooded.
He's really like exhausted and he doesn't, he likes practicing. He loves the soccer, but he's just like, oh man, I'd rather do the podcast. I said, well, you know, too bad.
Man.
I can't blame him, honestly. No offense against soccer and soccer people, but mad soccer practice tonight, too. But I kept thinking those fields were going to be flooded because we got, like, flash flooding today. So, hey, we haven't talked about – I went to the chiropractor. Now we got to talk about – so, hey, by the way, shout out to Dr. Jackson, who's listening and was excited.
Yes,
about
Dr. Jackson.
He talked to me about the Titanic episode and Lewis and Clark, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. I try not to bring this stuff up, but when it comes up in conversation, I'm like, I do. Subliminal message.
You're not like me, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's there is not one person that I have let go.
You've got everybody listening.
Oh,
right?
My gosh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Shout out to
Dr.
Jackson.
Out. And then we got.
Was it just an adjustment?
Yeah.
Or you
have, yeah, he set me straight. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another doctor.
That's good. That's my head shrinker.
Yeah. Snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah.
We had the thunderstorm of all thunderstorms today. I thought the arc was going to be
coming through.
By the, oh my gosh. Because we had multiple areas at the church today flood.
Yeah.
I mean, we're literally.
That's scary.
That was like the going thing today.
We had a push broom.
And couple of the high schools.
Into drains, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. It was
a weird
high
day. Schools were damaged. Yeah, and
Avon High School or one of the schools.
Center Grove, Avon.
Collapsed ceilings and flooding. And you'd say Center Grove.
Center Grove, yeah. They had, I think it was a pipe that burst. And so their basement flooded or the first floor.
So they're
going to
blame it on the storm.
I don't know.
Or blame it on the rain.
They did not let the students out. That's all I know. They weren't in any danger or anything like that. So it was funny. But I was sitting there. I was calling Jenna at lunch, and I saw these like black clouds rolling in. And then I was like, this isn't good. And she said, yeah, it's really bad here in Plainfield. And so I'm sitting there. And like, and then next thing I know, there was a severe weather code called. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised about that.
I mean, it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah.
I drove the Firebird. I never drive it if I think it's going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
but I drove it, and because I looked at the weather last night, and I thought it said just clear the whole day. Didn't pay attention. I pull into the church parking lot. I'm like, looking a little cloudy, and I thought, nope, not taking a chance because I had it get rained on one time. Not fun. So I put the T-tops in, and literally, you know, 20 minutes, half hour later, boom, just let loose. So, yeah, we
haven't had bad like storms come through either.
No, it's been
a while. Season, really. I mean, not anything horrible.
No, that was
now I've jinxed it. But that all I said the full moon must have like been packing a punch. You know, then we had a full moon on Sunday. So
yeah, but here we are. We're dry, and you know,
we survived the full moon, which is good because then we can talk about something that's related to the full moon. So.
Yes, that's true.
Not yet.
I just have one announcement to make, and then we'll announce it as it gets closer to the month of October. Oh, I can't wait! It's gonna be fun. But we do have
what happens in October?
I don't know. Is it? It's just the month before Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Well, it is my wife's birthday,
and we can't forget Amy's birthday.
My 30th, right?
And my brothers and Jeff got three, and
Amy's got all kind of.
Yeah. They're all like right next. Yeah,
we're
all
shout out.
So we do have a fun October planned for our creepies, and we're going to do a special Halloween episode, and that's what I'm excited about because last year we started all this planning afterwards. It's like, oh man, why couldn't we have done it a few months earlier? But
are we doing costumes
now? It's coming up, huh?
Are we doing costumes?
I don't know. Maybe the listeners or the social media followers should tell us.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because
send
guys,
us your pictures appropriately.
We're doing a special episode, but we're going to do it as a Facebook Live. So, and like I said, as it gets closer, I'll mention it probably every episode, and then we're going to do a special, like another merch, as I
dong
drumming on the mic,
special merch contest giveaway.
MC so, Mikey.
So we think about that. That'd be fun.
I think it sounds great.
That'd be a good time.
I'm already like turning over some costumes in my head, and a couple of them I already had to like shelf because it's like, nope, you know, it's inappropriate. Nope, inappropriate.
Man.
Well, if we're doing Facebook Live, I got nope.
We're just like, what?
Okay. I'll go back with Care Bears, right?
Yeah. But then I told you, said put like blood on it. And
well, yeah, a knife through the belly. Yeah. That's cool. I can do it.
But yeah, so it'd be fun doing a Facebook Live Halloween episode.
Or Facebook Dead.
Ooh. Good one.
That came out. Where did that come
from? Did you think
of that? I just thought of that all by myself. No, somebody don't. Our tulpa like that we created Facebook the last couple weeks ago, the tulpa told me.
The tulpa told you?
The tulpa told me.
The tulpa toupee?
No.
I wonder if tulpas do wear toupee.
Ooh, I don't know. If you want them to.
I guess
that's what you want.
Well, you can create it, right? Yeah.
That's coming
it's
out.
The whole idea about tulpas.
That's coming up here soon.
Oh, man. Our listeners are like, ow. They're already starting out wackadoos, so.
What was in that water?
Yeah. So anyway, that's my announcement. So, Sean, take it away.
Okay, you know I'm not going to be able to go right to the episode, dang it. I have to go into something else. And I'm looks. Okay, we're going to get past that.
I already knew.
I know, I told you already. Okay, so the last couple minis that we had, I sit there and listen to them. I'm like, dang it, there's so much more I want to talk about because these could have been full episodes. And by God. So I'm going to turn them into full episodes. So this will only take me a couple hours. For Lewis and Clark, I wanted to, you know, with the core of exploration, they had like 30 plus people. And you guys were asking, we were making jokes about who the dog was. The one reason I didn't want to say the dog's name, but I'm going to say it now, is because it's a little inappropriate. Not to them, probably, but it was Seaman. I'm just going to tell you that Seaman, S-E-A, you're starting to laugh with M-A-N. So Seaman was the dog.
He was a dog.
Norwegian long-haired something or other. Yeah, I don't know. So you make your jokes there. That's why I didn't bring that up, dang it. Now, I had to get that out of the way because that's snicker, snicker. The little baby in the papoose was Jean the Baptiste, right? Yeah. Of Sacagawea's baby. So, and there was also somebody, you know, I felt like there was a gap. Don't make any Todd's going to start laughing over here.
You really said salty dog.
So he did over there. I know. I was trying to just.
I am
S-E-A-C, salty seas, salty dog.
Let's get. I wanted to go.
Okay.
I wanted to go. Skate past that really quick.
Creepy. I apologize on behalf of Nate.
We're on thin ice right now. So I'm going to take this out off the thin ice back into the fire. No. So one person I did want to mention, because there's a lot of mentions on this expedition, was there was a slave with them named York. And I think he gets overlooked all the time in history. He was basically, you know, during the Lewis Clark expedition, he was a free man. I mean, he was, and the funny thing is, just like Sacagawea helped them, York did too. There were different tribes of Indians that revered him as like a god because of his skin. So, oh, geez.
Wow. Sean literally just knocked.
MC Mikey is getting really rough over here. I just knocked a cold cock by Mike.
I promise it'll get better, guys.
I think we should just
hang in there with us.
Let's start this over. So anyway, York, he did. He was a slave afterwards, and then he went back in. He did eventually become free. All right. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to point out, this may take me
and
forever.
I will say I've never heard of that, York. I've never
heard
of that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. See, this is, but I just felt like, oh, I wish I would have said something. So, but I wanted to get
and
right
to the
meat, heart
of it. Completely different. Like he wasn't associated with Sacagawea.
No, oh, this is, well, this is York, and he was a slave.
Oh, he was
so African American. Okay. Sorry, I didn't. Yeah, not a Native American.
Okay, gotcha.
So York was a slave there. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to follow me on this, man. We're going crazy.
Have you not noticed what's going on here? It's kind of hard to follow anything because I got Salter Dog over here to my right. I got
this is back to the pirates. Right?
You're banging your microphone. I'm hitting my mic.
Oh man. Okay.
And so, that's episode 25. Thanks, Creepies, for
joining
us.
When are we
going
to put alcohol in this? This is what we need to introduce. So,
wow.
And the other thing is, I looked and looked
and
looked.
I don't think any of this be standing.
I know. We need
knock
to
knock it all over.
We're going to edit the crap out of this. So anyway, the other thing is I looked and I wanted so bad to answer where he was shot. You know, like where the wounds were at. And so he was definitely shot in the head, and there were some reports that like his skull was showing or his brains were coming out. So that was in some of the reports, and I'm like, that's disturbing. Then they said, and the other shot was in the body, so it didn't specify. And I'm like,
because we talked about the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was in the body again. I couldn't find clarification of that. So if anybody can clarify, that'd be great. But I think that's what makes it such a history's mystery. Right. And again, with, you know, when there were those reports of him saying, like, after those two shots that he came out and he asked her for water to heal his wounds. And then later on, he wanted a razor to finish the job. And so it's just so weird. Hmm. And then the other thing with, I wasn't going to necessarily mention this, but is where he's buried. His family's even wanted to exhume him, but he's in this big, it's a big grave site, but it's got a bunch of concrete and rock, and they don't even know exactly where he's located in his crypt or tomb or whatever you want to call it. But it is pretty elaborate. They said it was really quick the way that he was buried, and so that also adds to the mystery. So I wanted to kind of tie that up a little bit. The Titanic, I won't make it nearly as ridiculous on this one. The one thing that I wanted to talk about, and I think the only thing I really wanted to clear up, because there's still so many holes in the Titanic stuff, was with the Albert Pike. Remember when I talked about that, the Morals and Dogma? I had mentioned that the World Wars 1, 2, and 3 are mentioned in Morals and Dogma from Albert Pike. Kind of true. Albert Pike, actually, there's an alleged letter that he wrote to a fellow Freemason, and he talked about how World War 1, 2, and 3 need to be set up. And the 1 and 2 came to fruition just how he said it. So there's that's a whole nother conspiracy. But the Morals and Dogma, I wanted to make sure there are some spooky things in it. As far as Freemasons, I'm not trying to talk against any Freemason stuff, but it's an esoteric philosophy of the Scottish Rite, which once you do the three basic, the 3 degrees, then you go into Scottish Rite, where you can go up to as far as 33 degrees. But they have the Morals and Dogma is basically going over a lot of their rites and rituals and all that kind of stuff. And some of the, they don't flat out spell it out in Morals and Dogma. But so I wanted to make sure that I didn't say that incorrectly. Cause when I heard it, I was like, ooh, it's actually a letter, not technically Morals and Dogma, but Albert Pike as a whole is kind of a creepy dude. So anyway, I wanted to clear those up on those two episodes, and those were really, and I've already gotten several people say, like, those are really interesting. That got me looking into it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Brian Jackson, one of our listeners and my chiropractor, he was saying that how interesting those were. So
good.
I appreciate
glad
that.
People liked them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. So, thanks for,
that's all I got on the extra. So for
read all about it,
for episode 25, we are going to look into the subject of werewolves.
So excited about this. This is a Nate.
This is Nate's idea, which I love it.
Loved it.
I want to know who.
Howl at the Moon.
Bach at the Moon. I put that on the Facebook.
Ozzy.
Ozzy. Oh, so Ozzy. But yes. So we're going to talk about werewolves. I'm going to start. This one, I don't think we can do like the trowel and the bricks and the mortar and all that stuff. We're not going to do any kind of foundation. This is just going to, we're going to run wild with it because this is a wild subject, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like there's folklore all around the world
Well, this is goes back.
To, yeah.
I called it ancient or old or whatever you want to call it. It's an old. So in werewolves, in folklore, a werewolf or occasionally a lycanthrope is, or a wolf human, is a human with the ability to shapeshift, shapeshift is a good word, into a wolf, or especially in modern film, a therianthropic.
Ooh, anthropic.
You like that? Hybrid wolf-like creature.
Did you practice that before we started recording?
Maybe once pretty or twice. Once or twice or 10 times. Either purposefully or after being placed under a curse or affliction, often a bite or scratch from another werewolf, with the transformations occurring on the night of a full moon. Now, not all of the werewolf folklore have full moons, but this one, it goes back pretty far. Early sources for belief in this ability or affliction called lycanthropy. What was that? Was that a good?
Well, I didn't.
I heard. I'm here to know. I think I'm hearing feedback.
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Do
you, oh, it's, you know what that is?
Starting.
Keep it up.
No, John's already.
It's a tulpa. I'm just trying to build like momentum for the tulpa thing.
Boy.
Yep. It's coming. That's it's coming up.
So, yeah.
So the werewolf is a. I'm sorry. That was an awkward. See, those awkward pauses are for believe.
No, I didn't hear
the guys from
way.
Believing the bizarre. Oh, you really didn't?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I'm hallucinating over here.
No.
This really is quite the night. The werewolf is a widespread concept in European folklore, existing in many variants, which are related by a common development of the Christian interpretation of underlying European folklore developed during a medieval during the medieval period. From the early modern period, werewolf beliefs also spread to the New World. With colonialism, belief in werewolves developed in parallel to the beliefs in witches, which is that's what I wanted to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So witches and werewolves are not hand in hand, but
yeah.
And then vampires and werewolves are they kind you know they're always battling each other. So I know we're probably going to get into that a little bit, but I think
well, I think isn't it like I know there's a lot of movies and shows dealing with werewolves. The Underground series,
the Underground
Underworld,
Underground Werewolf.
No, Underworld.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, Underworld. Yeah.
I believe weren't the Lycans protectors. Like enslaved protectors of the vampires?
I think that sounds right, yes. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen them, but
yeah.
I thought that was that's their role in the okay. movie series.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen any of them. I know the movies you're talking
really
about.
They're
really
good.
But are they
yeah.
good?
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like werewolf movies.
Well, this always. Goes, I mean, I'm sure it goes back even further than we even know, but like the Greeks and the Romans, and I know Nate and I were talking about this before, pre-show.
Yeah, I got a few things here.
Kind of good stuff in history. Mm-hmm. But then it goes back, you know, there's an ancient or historical aspect of the werewolf and the folklore, but then it goes into the idea of what Hollywood has done with it too, mm-hmm. and kind of how it's warped it and made it more what we're used to in the werewolf, you know, lore.
Yeah, looking at doing the research, yeah, I didn't know the werewolf went back that far. I mean,
the one thing
sculptures,
I have here,
paintings, you know, carvings, yeah. like 1500, 1300. It's mm-hmm. like, whoa, that's
yeah,
a long
the
time.
One thing I have here is Greek mythology. They're saying that werewolves made an early appearance in Greek mythology with the legend of Lycon. According to the legend, Lycon, the son of Plagueis, angered the god Zeus when he served him a meal made from the remains of a sacrificed boy. Mm. As punishment, the enraged Zeus turned Lycon and his sons into wolves.
Okay. I love Greek mythology.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, gosh.
Spooky, isn't it?
Yeah, I like all that.
So, yeah, that's way back.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Talking Greek mythology.
Yeah, you're talking about like how Hollywood has put their spin on it, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But but going back to ancient times, it's a long time. It's this creature, whatever, you know, it's not just something that Hollywood invented.
Oh yeah,
they just kind of took
been around,
and, yeah, doing with what they want to do or how they want to do it. But you know, talking about like even movies, you know, back in the original Wolfman, mm-hmm. you know, my dad was.
This is what I wanted to introduce.
Do you have a year? I
1941.
Wrote, yeah, so my dad was 7 years old.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so my dad was born 1934, and he was talking about the two horror characters that scared him as a kid. The Mummy was number one. That mm-hmm. sent him over the edge. I think I may have mentioned it.
It's past. This is in my notes.
Nice.
I wanted to ask you and make sure that I had this right.
About
your dad.
The Mummy and then the Wolfman. Oh mm-hmm. my gosh! It just yeah. And he, you know, he'd go to the movie theaters as a kid, and you know, for like 25 cents, you know, and just scared.
That warms my heart really. Cause
and you know, my dad passed away 17 years ago this month. And so when I do research and I think about stuff that I'm like, oh, cool, my dad, I can think of my dad with whatever, you know. Like,
surprise, he's the tall putt. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
This is, I put that at the top of my notes because I put Todd's dad's favorite and mummy. So I did, because I was like, right. I wanted to bring that up like sooner than later. Cause
yeah,
like,
the mummy, and then the Wolfman. That's
really cool.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember Michael Jackson's transformation?
Oh, Mike, and Thriller?
Oh, yeah. The
yellow, black.
As little, yeah.
When I was a little kid, that did scare the
I was even young.
Crap out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even you, right?
I was like 13, yeah.
Yeah.
It still does. Yeah, like, I tried to show the kids, and they were like, oh, that's it.
You know, and that video was way, I mean, the
great
special
song
effects.
Way
and,
ahead of its time.
I mean, I think most people have, you know, they show, I've seen it two or three times, the making of it. And
oh, yeah,
how,
right.
How they put the makeup on him. And
my grandma had the VHS of that. I think
oh,
I
really?
Wore that thing out.
That's
so, you know, and doing the choreography with the zombie, mm-hmm. you know, and I just love that. I thought that was so cool. That's like a mini. Talk about
that,
mini.
That's his thing. When he made videos, Michael Jackson, he always wanted to try to make like a mini movie.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was so, yeah.
And he's always, I mean, great. Outdoing himself, too. Yeah. That was a huge part of him.
And I heard the song before, the next and then when the video came out, I'm like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the
it was cool.
Fun. Yeah, my kids, they've seen it.
MJ.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to make sure when we were talking about the movies, I had a couple. Is it another unexplained sound? I'm telling you,
you know what it is.
I heard something.
It's your floor vent.
Your leg on it.
I know I heard something.
Nate's turning. He's like, what?
I knew I heard something. That's why I was like, what in the world was that sound?
Oh, was that the sound you're?
I think same song. Same sound.
Same song.
Same sound. No, I wanted to tell you, the horror movies, you're talking about coming out in 1941, but during World War II, they put a freeze. I didn't know this. I don't know if you guys know this. Your dad might not have known this. They put a freeze on horror movies during the 30s and late 30s. Huh. And the first horror movie that came back and regenerated the horror movies was Wolfman in 1941.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting? Because the reason is because they felt like horror movies were it was detracting from the morale of the country. It was something that wasn't boosting up. Isn't that interesting though?
Where did you
I actually wrote that down from one of the videos I was watching, like a historical.
I would have never guessed that.
I thought that was
but I would have thought maybe some
never
other
ever
reason,
heard
not
that.
Diminishing the morale of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
And that was Lon Chaney Jr. Of course I put that as
I mean,
too,
and you talk about classic
see,
actors.
These are my most important
the,
all, things
you know,
are up
they
at
play
the
play those characters, yeah.
So I thought that was fascinating. Something a little further back about that werewolves were coming in. This isn't even as far back as like the Greeks and the Romans, but the 1500s and the 1600s, they had what was that time period's National Enquirer, and it was called The Broadside.
Okay.
And they would have fantastic and fanciful stories and made up stories basically, mm-hmm. and folklore. And that's where a lot of times these reports of witches and vampires, and definitely werewolves, but it was called The Broadside. And this is, we're talking the 1500s, 1600s. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know
about that either. So the stuff we find when we're sitting here looking for all this stuff, I loved it. I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm.
That is neat. That's a neat,
it really is.
Yeah. Talk about the movie. I did, write down a few of the movies that, I mean, not just, I think that are classics or popular, but we talk about The Wolfman, 1941,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lon Chaney. And I wrote, that was scared my dad as a kid.
You going to bring up Teen Wolf?
Classic. I had that written down, 1985,
sorry.
Michael J. Fox.
That's awesome.
Now, this one, I was 10 when it came out. I didn't see it when I was 10, but I was a little older, but it, American Werewolf in London.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Which is originally Paris. The story was Paris, but they mm-hmm. changed it to London because they thought mm-hmm. they'd get more interest from, you know, the English speaking mm-hmm. whatever.
The Howling. The Howling came out the same year.
Ooh,
1981.
The Howling, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a good one.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
Now, here's a movie. Now, this one has a little bit of, like I said, okay, so Wolf, 1994 with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
The thing about this movie is, other than when my dad was a kid and saw a movie, you know, but when he got to be an adult, we went to like the drive-in theater, you mm-hmm. know, a few times, you know, multiple times, but actually going into a indoor movie theater, right, to sit and watch a movie. My dad he dropped my mom and I off. We'd go see our movies, and you know, Jaws. We saw Jaws mm-hmm. together, and superhero. You know, she took me to all the Superman movies and Batman. My dad was like, "Yeah, just do your thing, right?" Well, he did see two movies as I was growing up. One was E.T. He mm-hmm. sat through, and the other one, Wolf.
Oh,
he
wow.
saw it with
Wolf.
Jack. Yeah, yeah, and he
that's
liked
cool.
it. Yeah, and I don't know. I wish I don't remember. I don't think I asked him. But as I'm, you know, doing the research and talk, I'm like, I wonder if that took him back to being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Where that's why, you know, the one talking about the Wolf. Mm-hmm. And he right. was like, you know what? I'm going to go sit there, like I did as could've. I was a, you know, kid or teenager. Yeah. So I you know.
Jack Nicholson's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Teen Wolf. Okay. So we have 1985, Michael J. Fox. Everybody's seen that probably. Here's another movie I like. When it's on, wherever it's at, I watch it. Silver Bullet.
I've never seen that. 1985.
Is that Stephen with the King. Kids? Huh?
Is it with the kids?
No, that's the Lost Boys, isn't it? Is that what you're
saying? No, not with the vampires.
Oh, that's vampires. I'm sorry, yeah.
Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Silver Bullet,
I vaguely remember an old movie where they like made silver bullets to shoot werewolves. I can't remember what movie that was.
I don't have
this is the middle.
So I don't have Tyler or Charlie yelling at me.
we're already getting into a rut. Dang it.
I'm just drawing a blank. Here's the main actor or actors Corey Haim.
That's what I was thinking about.
Gary Busey.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's trying to tell him, "Hey, there is a real, oh, you know," but he rigs up his wheelchair like a motorcycle type thing. He's got an engine on it. And then the spoiler alert, the preacher ends up getting bit by a werewolf, and then he turns into a werewolf, and he's the one that's going around killing people.
Yeah.
I love that movie, Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
When I had COVID, we were talking about when I was laying in bed for a month and a half.
Watched everything under the sun.
I was like, oh, Silver Bullet, got to watch it. I love that movie. Stephen King book.
I don't know that one.
And then the other one I wrote down was, have you guys seen, there's two of them, Ginger Snaps and then Ginger Snaps 2. It's like 2001 and 2004.
No.
No, I haven't
good seen movies. Those. Good, oh. good movie. Yeah. Amy and I saw them.
I wrote down Van Helsing.
Oh, Van Helsing.
Van Helsing. Oh, I've seen gosh. It 20 times. That's another one.
That's
a really
good one.
That is good.
I thought about it. I just didn't write it down because I know because it incorporates. But yeah, Van Helsing. Oh, yeah.
Got to love Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna, the funny thing about Teen Wolf, the reason I wondered if we were going to bring that up. They talked about the movie transformations of werewolves is generally speaking, they couldn't even, when they first did it, they weren't allowed to put that on screen. They thought it was too graphic for audiences. So they would always not go through the actual transformation. So when they actually did it, it was really cool for them to see, like they'd normally grow in size and their extremities would grow and it looked painful, but they said, except for Teen Wolf where you just grow hair.
It's Michael J. Fox
with a bunch of hair.
I've had friends though. I'm like, are you part wolf? Because you literally in like 4 hours just boom.
Yeah,
you're hairy.
Like Teen Wolf. The mom and dad are like, what's wrong, bud?
Yeah,
and they're like, they're wolves.
They're covered in hair. Yeah,
that is a funny scene. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
He's like, what?
What?
Now a movie that you're talking about the transformation that is intense is The American Werewolf in London.
Yes, yeah.
because the face is popping and then the fingers, and that's a pretty intense scene when he's turning into I like all those movies. Yeah.
I thought another one. We're not going to talk too much about video games, but Altered Beast, a Sega game. I love that game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of basic now, but the cool character was turning into a wolf. You know?
Okay,
so that was, and you would see that physical transformation that looked painful, but it's very cool. There was another one that I won. Hitler. Since we talked about Hitler, some. Mm-hmm. I did not know about this one either, but they said Hitler, and I knew that Hitler was obsessed with wolves. So he would, like his ships, you know, he liked to call the submarines would be wolf this and wolf that. And he would, the subs would like pick them off, just like wolves would pick off a battleship at a time, you know, or the enemy ships. And so he liked to think of it as, you know, their strategy like wolves.
Yeah.
And then he had his wolf den. That's where he hid, his bunker underground. And they said that he used to go around back then during the cartoon was like the Three Little Pigs, and the Three Little Pigs would go around saying, "Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?" They said that Hitler would go around whistling that, you know, "Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?" Now that, in my opinion, in itself is creepy.
That is creepy.
It's kind of cool, but it's kind of creepy.
Hmm. And my kids, we you know, you can get on whatever Netflix or whatever, you know, show app or movie, and that play that original, you know, the little Three Little Pigs. And now thinking about Hitler, kind of changes it all. Him whistling it. Oh,
yeah.
He was a werewolf.
And I found another folklore.
Yeah.
Where werewolves emerged in early Nordic folklore. tells, what is it, the Saga of the Volsungs?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Tells the story of a father and son who discovered wolf pelts that had the power to turn people into wolves for 10 days.
Pelts, not belts, right?
Yeah, pelts with a P. Pelts. The father-son duo donned the pelts, transformed into wolves, and went on a killing rampage in the forest. The rampage ended when the father attacked the son, causing a lethal wound. The son only survived because of a kind raven that gave the father a leaf with healing powers. And I like that one because it sort of segues into a newer show on Netflix called The Order.
Yeah.
And that is
yeah,
how,
we were talking about that earlier.
How the wolves in that series, that's how they have their powers, is a pelt chose them. And they don the that wolf's hide's power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, that when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's just like that show I saw on Netflix. Yeah.
And that's a Nordic folklore.
Nordic folklore, yeah.
Yeah, that's the neat thing about the werewolves is...
There's so many stories. I know.
It comes from everywhere.
We can tell.
It's not just in one region or, you know, time period. It's been around forever in lots of different countries. And I love the werewolf.
That was, I think it's interesting that they, like the idea of werewolves are, it comes down to the baser instincts of man. So it's those animal instincts and there's a freedom to act lustfully and quite honestly, sexually. And they get to, you know, it's almost like drug-induced frenzy is what a werewolf is. And the wolf is that, or the beast part is the out-of-control part of us, that physical part of us. And there, it's the non-civilized part. And then there is the civilized part of us that is more the spiritual, the reflective, the being able to control yourself. So that I think that's what makes it most interesting for people to say, oh, the werewolf is really scary, but it's also like there's a seductiveness. We think about vampires when you think of some monsters.
They're known to be sexy.
But werewolves, if you think about it, it's a little bit more primal of that, but it's the same thing. But I think it's interesting that that goes all the way back into the idea of we know a lot about vampires. And we can thank Bram Stoker for that, right? For that. And we can thank, you know, Frankenstein's monster. And we can thank Mary Shelley for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they pointed out, you know, werewolves are very popular. But the reason that there's not like, oh, well, the werewolf that I like is, I don't know. You know, there's no novel behind it.
Yeah, there's no creator.
But that also
folklore. Mm-hmm.
But it also makes it even more mysterious and probably a little bit more spooky. And a lot of people, I was watching videos actually on the way here. A video about like spotting werewolves in the Midwest has tons. They said in 8 to 12 different states that there's like still werewolf spottings. Now there was a person that like specializes in wolves and was saying, oh, it's just wolves that people are making them out to be bigger than what they are. And they're just, you know, they're carrying away carcasses and they're not really up on their hind feet walking. But people are like, no, these things are 7 or 8 feet tall. It was one story in Michigan. They have actual video. Mm. You guys should look that up. And it's disturbing. It's like, is this real? Is this fake? But it was actually, they said, if this is a real thing and not faked, which they think it was real, this is not just your typical wolf. This is an actual what
bipedal.
We would consider. Yeah, we call a werewolf.
Yeah,
no, so that man, really creeps
that's a game
out.
Changer there,
isn't it? Yeah,
you know.
There's a I just found back in like 1521 in France. There's a few individuals that claim to be werewolves and went on serial killer murdering sprees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Bourgot and Michael Verdun allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have anointment that turned them into wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Confessed to brutally murdering several children and were burned to death at the stake. Burning was thought to be the only ways to kill a werewolf at that time. And then another guy just shortly after them, Giles Garnier, known as Werewolf of Dole, 16th
scary.
Century Frenchman.
Is that a fruit?
Yeah.
Pineapple.
Yeah.
Same thing. He was had the anointment of wolf morphine abilities and viciously killed children and ate them. And he also was burned at the stake for his crimes. Is later found that they all suffered from mental illness and under the influence of hallucinogenic substance was.
That's what I saw. A lot of their drive. A lot of those stories they said were either psychopathic killers, you know, murderers, and that was, historically speaking, that's how they described these behaviors that they had.
Yeah.
And that they, but there were, they talked about even like what were considered witches or magicians that would take magical potions of, of certain drugs, you know, that they had. Wolfsbane is, well, Wolfsbane is supposed to actually also cure wolves of their issues, but they were talking about having just a little bit of wolfbane and then it would turn people, it was almost like an LSD, you know, this turn them into a frenzy.
A little bit of catnip.
Catnip, exactly, for a wolf. Right. But there were ways to kill a werewolf were from anything from, there isn't a way to kill a werewolf to the silver bullet idea, obviously. They say silver is like the garlic to vampires.
Vampire, yeah.
And, or a silver blade and chop off their head. And, or like I said, the wolfsbane was another one that, that could potentially, and wolfsbane is actually, they say in large quantities can kill you. It, slows down your heart is what they said.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, physiologically, if I can say that correctly.
Physiologically. Yeah.
Physiologically.
Yeah. Those story it, you're talking about. I looked those same,
I did too. I have all
very
the,
interesting,
the famous werewolves throughout history. Yeah. They, and they're also, they're found feral kids. And there, that is actually something that's more, even more recent. And then throughout history, they found kids that have been quote unquote raised by wolves. And they normally, when they come into society, they, there's stories of them not living either, you know, very many years. And they just can't adjust to society.
Yeah.
So that's really scary too. You know, yeah, I mean, they joke about it like, my God, were you raised by wolves? Well, some kids actually were. Yeah. And it didn't go real well, like, apparently. So when you bring them back.
One of the other stories that, and I've heard her on two or three different podcasts, in talking about, the Bray Road Beast in Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's a recent, for those that, Linda Godfrey is the one that, you know, wrote the book about Bray Road, and she's been on many podcasts talking about it. And I've always been fascinated about this. 'Cause like I said, I just heard it two or three years ago. I'll just read this real quick. Said the most famous U.S. case of multiple sightings was in Wisconsin in a case that has become known as the Bray Road Beast. That's hard to say. Bray Road Beast. In southeastern Wisconsin on October 31st, 1999, Halloween, Dorstein Gibson, I guess, struck something as she was traveling along Bray Road one night near the town of Delavan. I hope I pronounced that right, Wisconsin. While searching for the animal she believed she had struck, she spotted a large, hairy beast racing toward her. She jumped in the car and barely escaped. The book, The Beast of Bray Road by Linda Godfrey, outlines the flurry of witnesses who came forward after hearing about Doris Dean's experience. Lorianne Andrizzi, a bar manager, reported clearly seeing the beast on the side of the road in 1989. It had fangs, gray-brown hair, and pointed ears. Okay, sounds like a werewolf. Scott Bray, a dairy farmer, reported spotting a strange dog on his property near Bray Road in 1989. Another citizen, Russell Guest, reported spotting the beast emerge from an overgrown area to stand on its hind feet. Guest ran, but the beast never chased him. And then two others I have down here. In 1990, Heather Bowie and friends were chased by the beast near Loveland Road. And gentleman Mike Eaton, a dairy farmer, reported seeing the creature near Bray Road in 1990. So around this area, there's a lot of sightings. That's crazy.
Stay away from Bray Road.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, not so going there.
Southeastern Wisconsin. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
So you guys telling stories. I got a couple that I wrote them down off of videos that I was watching or documentaries.
Oh, cool.
So one of them was, and we were talking about the pelts. So I understand that makes a lot more sense to me. They were talking about special clothes that they wore.
I did see one story. One of those acclaimed werewolf guys.
Yeah.
He claimed that it was a special belt.
So you
may have seen that.
I thought
story.
I heard belt, and then, but the pelt makes a lot more sense. And
maybe it's
clothing.
A pelt belt.
It's a pelt belt. It's furry. I like to rub it.
Well, there was also, they were talking about
very pelty.
They were talking about how, like, we were just saying, like, the psychopathic killers and murders. And they were also saying, like, cannibalism, people that were, like, eating other people or, like, you know, that could also explain some of the weird mm-hmm. behaviors. But so one of these stories was that this particular werewolf had a pelt, clothing, belts, whatever, that gave him these special powers. His wife knew about it, and she was having an affair with a knight. And so she told the knight, like, if we steal this pelt or this, like mm-hmm. I said, this clothing, he won't be able to turn into a werewolf. So they stole his stuff. He ended up, they said, wouldn't it be nice if, like, okay, so he wasn't a werewolf anymore, and they took him out and they took one less werewolf in the world. But that's not how it happened. He actually bit her nose off, and she and the knight, were forced into seclusion, and their children's noses were, removed from then on too. So ooh. Again, this sounds like some folklore, but let's pretend
that's
it's true.
Nose fun.
It's nose fun. It,
they can't be. They're not going to be nosy, are they? yeah, I mean, but it's what? It's, I don't want to say fun, but what a cool story.
It's kind of
that's different. I've never heard anything.
You're
like
going
to
love this one. Is that this next one's even better? So there was a hunter who was going through the woods, and he found a werewolf. And he was in fighting the werewolf. He chopped the werewolf's hand off. The werewolf went running, so he went to the nearest hut or home or wherever, whatever's there, a little cottage. And the guy was sitting there trying to figure out what was happening. And the guy, the hunter had kept the paw, and he put it in his little pouch. And so he showed him this werewolf paw. And when he was showing him the paw, it had turned into a female's hand with a ring. And the guy was like, that's my wife's ring. And so he went upstairs to find his wife. So he ran upstairs to find his wife.
Uh-oh.
And she was wrapping her missing hand with a bandage. Ooh. She had to confess, and she was burned at the stake.
Mm.
Ooh, isn't that weird?
That's a really good one.
You like that one? Yeah. So the idea is that normally when you kill a werewolf, they turn back into their human form. So that's kind of crazy, you know, and that was some belief that was the only way that you could kill them after that is once they turn back into a human. Because that was when they were at their most
vulnerable.
Vulnerable, exactly.
And well, they've got, you know, werewolves are known for, like, power and strength, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Superhuman, obviously. You know, they're fast and, yeah, like, chasing people, chasing cars.
Yeah.
Well, they said that.
No, but that's cool. That's a good story.
The, you know, the Inquisition, which was started around, like, I believe the 1200s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot with witches and anybody that was against the Catholic Church. But witches were involved in that, and Jews, mm-hmm, and all the, you know, anybody, like I said, that didn't believe in Catholicism to their degree. And but werewolves were involved in that as well. And I, mm-hmm, you don't know that. That's a lesser known, you know, fact. But they said they did, a lot of those were burned, or they were put in monasteries, which I thought was kind of interesting. They didn't always kill them. In France at one, let's see, I think it was in the, it was 16th, 17th centuries, 30,000 people in France were suspected to be werewolves, and they were either killed, burned, or sent to monasteries.
How many?
30,000.
30,000?
Mm-hmm. There seems to be like a big movement in France.
Somewhere, and like I said, that was the 16th, 17th centuries, I guess, is what I wrote down.
It's a lot of people that they thought were werewolves.
They said you had, and the whole idea of shapeshifters, and since they thought there was this belief that they like turned themselves inside out so that you would actually like peel back their skin, mm-hmm, and see if it was werewolf underneath, which I think is wild. And then that goes into the whole idea of my favorite, interdimensional beings, mm-hmm, so that they're, you know, shapeshifting or in and out.
Yeah,
of
I've never heard that one as far as for werewolves, but
yeah,
shapeshifters,
well,
yeah.
And then there's Hellboy, which we talked about before too, mm-hmm, with the Hitler cult. But they had, in that world, there was a whole idea of interdimensional beings. You know, that's where Hellboy came from. But there was the world back with when there was King Arthur and Excalibur and Merlin. That was, the world had monsters in it too. Mm-hmm. And at that time, but humans are the ones that basically destroyed all the monsters. Mm-hmm. So werewolves would have been involved in all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in myth and legend and lore.
That's why I love this.
But what if?
You know, when you came up and said, hey, let's do, mm-hmm, werewolves sometime.
Oh,
I was like,
so
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always been intrigued about this myth.
Let your creature imagination run wild with, mm-hmm, it, you know?
Yeah. And like we said, it's something that Hollywood didn't invent, mm-hmm, or wasn't invented just 20 years ago. It's been, you know, centuries. It's been around, you know, in different cultures, different ways that they think it's come about, or how you kill it. I mean, everything, every aspect about a werewolf, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
you know, and the, and that lycanthropy, the condition.
I mean, there's the medical.
Talk more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you mind if I do? Because I had that.
I've got
up.
Yeah. I've got notes too. So okay. No, I'm saying go ahead and.
So this is lycanthropy. Say it right. As a medical condition, right. Some modern researchers have tried to explain the reports of werewolf behaviors with recognized medical conditions. Dr. Lee Illis of Guy's Hospital in London wrote a paper in 1963 entitled On Purpurea and the Etiology of Werewolves, in which he argues that historical accounts on werewolves could have, in fact, been referring to victims of congenital purpurea, stating how the symptoms of photosensitivity, reddish teeth, and psychosis could have been grounds for accusing a sufferer of being a werewolf. This is, however, argued against by Woodward, who points out how mythological werewolves were almost invariably portrayed as resembling true wolves, and that their human forms were rarely physically conspicuous, as porphyria victims. Others have pointed out the possibility of historical werewolves having been sufferers of hypertrichosis, which is a hereditary condition and manifesting itself with excessive hair growth. That's one in a billion people. Mm. I heard that. That's not in here, but that was one of the stats I heard. They dismissed this possibility, the rarity of the disease, because it, like one in a billion, ruled out that many people that have historically been pointed out as werewolves. So also this one I found interesting. People suffering from Down syndrome have been suggested by some scholars to have been possible originators of werewolf myths. they suggested rabies as the origin of the werewolf beliefs, claiming remarkable similarities between symptoms of that disease and some of the legends. So that's kind of, and it goes on a little bit more, but I think that's fascinating.
It is. The part of the notes I have highlighted here, it says the lycanthropy, how would I say that?
Lycanthropic?
Lycanthropia.
Anyway. Just say it like that. That's perfect.
Is a disease and not a transformation, you know, and it makes sure it says at first, you know, it's explicitly.
But I want clinical, it to be a transformation.
I know, lycanthropy, the type of insanity where the patient imagines to have transformed into a wolf.
Psychosis.
And not in reference to supposedly real shape-shifting, but it said
they believe
lycanthropy.
They
yeah.
For supposed shape-shifting is much later introduced in 1830.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
And I thought it's probably been something that's just recent, you know, and not over 100 years ago. And just that's what, well, again.
They've been trying to figure it out for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not just since 1980, you know, right? 1830. I was real clear. I was going to say, you know, a patient behaves in a manner. I highlighted these two little notes here. A patient behaves in a manner that resembles animal behavior. For example, howling, growling, or crawling. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
And then a patient reports in a moment of lucidity or reminiscence that they sometimes feel as an animal or have felt like one in the past.
I'm like, gosh, isn't that weird? I don't know. Everybody.
What a condition.
Somebody. My weird is somebody else's normal, and that's that. But right. That's, to me, that's weird. Not to judge, but
it's, yeah, no. I mean, it's still, it is. It's what we don't. Weird. Right.
A couple other things I wanted to,
yeah. That
makes me think of when we were I was going through this. Do you remember the Peter and the wolf, the story?
Mm-hmm.
And each animal in the story, and Peter is a different wind instrument. Mm-hmm. And then the wolf in the story is three French horns. Okay. And I remember that. Just like,
man.
And I'm then to, yeah. There's hunters that take out the wolf. But I remember that story. And then I also put it on Facebook. I remember it was the Marvel series of Werewolf by Night. And so Marvel has definitely showcased werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually was a really big hit for Marvel back in the day. And then Little Red Riding Hood, which is a story basically by the Brothers Grimm, which we're going to talk about here coming up pretty soon. But it was their original story is very disturbing, which a lot of their stories were, and that's why we're going to talk about them. But it was cleaned up, and the story that we know is by Charles Perrault, I believe. And he was a French aristocrat who also redid the Cinderella story so that we know it a little bit more. And the Disney version is basically cleaned up by him as well. But I thought that was interesting that Little Red Riding Hood originally has a lot of weird, like if you think about it, like, oh, grandma, what big arms you have. What big legs you have. You know,
big eyes, and big ears. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so
grandma, there was a lot teeth. Of...
Yeah, there was some weirdness in that story, but it's just, you know, but that's by all count, that wolf would have been a werewolf, you know, so that they were talking about. So that was in little, and back then those stories weren't meant for little kids. They were actually for mainly based, to be told to women and middle class to aristocratic women. But it was, it's just disturbing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, we'll, that'll
we'll
be,
delve into that.
That is later. To be continued, but I thought that was interesting that that, you know, it touches on both of the subjects we're wanting to talk about, but.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. It is a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
You know, just the werewolf lore, lycanthropy, the condition. It's all crazy and fun and weird.
It really is. Oh, yeah.
Lots of, of stories. This wasn't hard to do any research.
No,
on.
Not at all. Oh, it's fun too. Like, yeah. I actually really enjoyed it and watching the stuff.
Very
it
fun.
Just gives you the creeps.
They're saying that, you know, with some werewolf stories, and it's always classic that, you know, they turn into a werewolf in full moon.
Ah, and, yeah.
They're saying that at a hospital in Australia, they always say a full moon brings the beast out of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And a study found out that 91 violent acute behavior incidents at the hospital between August 2008 and July 2009, 23% happened during the full moon.
Mm-hmm. It's been shown statistically that definitely that does trigger people. And that there's a sign, an idea that it causes lunacy. And
well, and I think
and that's where
we've touched on it before.
Lunar comes, it comes from the word
from
lunar.
Lunacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
And I think we've touched on that before in previous.
We did. So, yeah, I mentioned about
where, you know, I mean, it controls the tides. There's definitely a shift in whatever kind of gravitational poles and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're sensitive beings. I mean, little shifts like that. I mean, it could very well change how you perceive things or how your brain is functioning or, you know.
And so I'm telling you, this last full moon packed a punch.
At the hospital?
At home.
Now, before I met my wife, my wife has been saying that for, you know, she's in education, and she has said that, and I'm like,
I used to poo-poo it, too. I used to go,
there's no way, you know, she would say the kid, because she'd say, oh, my gosh, there's a full moon, the kids are going to be crazy tomorrow, and I'm like, what? They're either, you know, they are or not based on just their makeup. I mean,
crime
just,
goes up,
right?
Mental behaviors go up, and then and births. Actually, people tend to have, like, babies are born.
Werewolf babies? No.
Oh, babies, werewolf babies.
No, but,
exactly. But lycanthropic.
But if you would have said, oh, man, said the hospital's just crazy, it's the full moon, I would have said, oh, Sean, come on. But no, but now.
You believe me now, don't you?
I do. I
come with me sometime, right?
Well, Rachel says it all the time. She's like, oh, no, it's a full moon tonight. And
yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, well. Good luck.
We joke about something like,
I know, I'm like, I don't know.
Like late effect full moons, you know, like, oh, that went pretty well, you know, and then 2 days later, it's like, bam.
My wife's like,
it's kind
gosh,
of a self fulfilling prophecy at times, but no, I do believe
it changes their behavior because of,
it really
does. And not everybody, but it can, you know, some people are, it's a whole, I don't know.
I have, in looking at all of this, I have really been trying not to start howling at the moon. That is what Baca at the moon.
Yeah, that is a great song.
I keep getting itches behind my ears, but I can't get my feet up there to scratch it.
I know, yeah. And I'm going to apologize, Nate. One of the stories you just apologized. Was it the Moorback monster you're talking about or no?
Moorback monster.
When one of the stories you're talking about. Because I had one story.
Like the historical werewolves.
It's either Moorback, Moorback. Because if not, I'm going to tell. I couldn't.
Go for it. I don't think
I read it. I totally was like, wait a minute. Why did he? Yeah.
You're like, oh, there's a werewolf in it. It could be the same.
So
mine was a Burgot.
Burgot, because I had that one, I just didn't want to mix them up.
Pierre Burgot.
That's a great one, too. That's a very famous. Yeah. Well, that was the 1521 one.
I'm glad we all got to tell good ones. Yeah.
So it says, this is the either Moorback or Moorback monster. According to a legend centered on the town of. Man, I always get these names. Wittlich in Germany. Sorry, Germany.
It sounds made
Germany
up.
Germany listening
it sounds
to us?
Made up. Yes,
say it with anger.
Okay, Germany. So I apologize.
They came on the radar only for the Hitler stuff, and then they disappeared again.
Did they?
Very, very weird.
Interesting. They're werewolves. So it's either Wittlich, Wittlich, in Germany, a farmer's wife had cursed a Russian soldier after he had killed her husband. The soldier eventually became known as a murderous werewolf, and villagers eventually captured and killed him and set up a shrine at the site with a continually burning candle. Villagers believe that so long as the candle is lit, the Wolfman will not return. One evening in 1988, a group of Air Force personnel, they were returning to the Moorback base and noticed the candle was out. So now you know what's going to happen. That night, a large wolf-like creature was spotted at the perimeter fence. The base police dog refused to give chase, and it was from there on known as the Moorback Monster.
Oh, my God.
And that was the state in 1988, so I thought that was kind of cool.
And that's funny. That was Germany, right?
Yes, sir.
Because here's another one. Peter Stube, a wealthy 15th century farmer.
Yeah.
Bedburg, Germany. He was another werewolf. Turned into a wolf-like creature at night and devoured many citizens of Bedburg. Eventually blamed for gruesome killings of where did that go?
Don't leave out the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Killings of animals, men, women, and children eating their remains. And yeah. And that was the one that he was enchanted by a belt.
Okay.
Not the pelt. So we got belts and pelts.
And then, said it gave him power to transform into a wolf at will, but no one has ever found the belt.
Gosh. I just love this stuff. I know that.
I do too.
It's crazy.
I hope the listeners enjoy this as much as we did.
Yeah, so much.
Talking about it.
It's dark, and I like these.
So what?
This is a fun dark, though.
Okay, so let's ask ourselves, what do you think about, do you think it's just legend and lore, or do you think there is something? I mean, obviously, lycanthropy is a real condition.
Right.
But yeah. I'm talking about, just for fun, do you think there it possibly, we were talking about the story, Sean, saying that people were seeing that, what was the state?
Oh, in Michigan. Yeah, Michigan was one. That's where they got it on video.
Yeah. So
the Michigan werewolf.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Never seen one, and I'd have. I know you. I think it's possible
because this Bray Road thing really fascinates me.
Yeah.
What do you say with Ouija boards? You're 50-50. I may be 50-50 with werewolves.
50-50.
Honestly, I'm probably 50-50.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I mean. The little kid in me is like, I want to believe. But do I want to believe? Because I don't want to be ripped to shreds either.
No,
I want to believe from afar.
No, I mean, I totally believe these people with mental conditions. And
they
believe that they're a werewolf.
Yep.
And
of course.
Exhibit cannibalistic behavior.
And they're howling and growling.
Yeah. If there is a real werewolf
out
there.
Well, I mean, they go full bore on it. It's like, I'm a werewolf. I know that. That's what I am.
If there is a werewolf
out there. That explains everything.
I'm a werewolf.
Yeah. If there is one out there.
And I can play basketball really well.
We will pay top dollar if you bring him in.
Can you imagine if that was, if there, oh, my goodness sakes, that there was
I don't know,
something out there that could stand up and
what would you do? I don't know.
What would I do? I don't know.
I don't even know. It's like Slender Man.
I hope I had a gun with a silver bullet, I guess, or something.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
That's always, I like the original Wolfman, when that witch or that woman that's talking and that, the only way to kill it is with a silver bullet. It's like, oh, man, I love that as a kid. It scared me, but
that's crazy.
That was the one my dad was like, yay.
Well, they say, if you get bit by one, you have to survive the bite first, and then you
turn
become
into one.
Yeah. It's just, no thanks. It's
but I think, isn't also, I could be wrong, but isn't if you... Scratch or bitten, and if you can kill the original... werewolf,
it goes away.
Then you are saved, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
back I think to same scenario as with Dracula.
Okay,
if you're a vampire, if you kill Dracula, then you
or kill the one that maybe
that turned you.
This is a disturbing scene of Bram Stoker's Dracula too. But Dracula turns into a wolf too in that movie.
Yeah,
he gets a little hanky panky when he's a wolf, and as I recall, and let's not. We probably shouldn't go down that road too much, but. Just to think that Dracula could be both. That's Hollywood magic.
Maybe that's how he has control of the lichens and has them as his bodyguards.
Right.
There you go. He is one.
It's like lichens. East side, west side.
The lichens and the dislichens.
I dislichens.
The wolves and the bands.
Oh, man. I was waiting for that one. I've been holding on to that one.
The bloods and the crypts.
So, guys, any other stories or anything else before we wrap up about werewolves?
No, I feverishly wanted to make sure that I went through all this stuff, and I did.
Yeah, I've covered everything. I mean, I loved it. Great stories
awesome.
And talking about how it all started and the
when I was getting that Centuries post ready, I was, it really got me excited about, like, oh, this is going to be fun and scary.
Yeah, right.
I loved it.
Well, I hope and I would assume that the listeners are going to enjoy the werewolf episode too.
Oh, so, I've been waiting for that one. Days. Right. I've been trying to work on my best one. Yeah, people keep telling me knock it off.
Right. So if wait a minute, that's Sean. That's just him.
That's why Alan. I shouldn't do it in public, right?
All right. Well, good. Yeah. Good conversation, guys. Good talk about werewolves. So
I always say, like, this is going to be my favorite one, but this is going to be my favorite.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was the really because there were just
again
there was a lot. There was a lot to.
I can't wait to listen to this.
There was a lot to scratch at.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Claw and paw
it. Yeah. So
we sniffed it out as best.
Oh, hey, oh nice. Man, save that for the end.
Yeah, don't. Yeah,
you know. Oh, he's got better. He's got even better one. I bet.
He's like, oh, I got it. He's gonna
now. I gotta start thinking.
He's gonna bark at the moon.
Yeah, you got time. All right, Mr. Sean.
All right, it is that time. Now, I couldn't think of anything to kind of counteract this with, you know, no Wolfbane or anything like that. So, this is something that Jenna sent me during this week.
No Wolfman Jack or anything.
No Wolfman Jack. Jenna sent me this, and this is really cool. I like this. I think you guys are going to like this one. But it has nothing to do with werewolves or anything, but it's just a little bright point. I'm going to give the credit to where the credit's due. This guy's name is John Rodell. And do I know him? No, but I think this was...
Too bad his last name wasn't Wolf.
Oh, I know. Awesome. I don't
that
would
have been great.
Don't think I didn't try to find... I wanted to find some kind of a connection with wolves, but I'm like, no, I'm just going to play this straight.
Okay. All right.
So, but wouldn't that be awesome?
What a letdown. No,
it really is. I know. I'll try harder next time, teacher. All right. So John Rodell wrote, "My brain and heart divorced a decade ago over who was to blame about how big a mess I have become. Eventually, they couldn't be in the same room with each other. Now my head and heart share custody of me. I stay with my brain during the week, and my heart gets me on the weekends. They never speak to one another. Instead, they give me the same note to pass to each other every week. And their notes they send to one another always says the same thing. This is all your fault. On Sunday, my heart complains about how my head has let me down in the past. And on Wednesday, my head lists all of the times my heart has screwed things up for me in the future. They blame each other for the state of my life. There's been a lot of yelling and crying. So lately, I've been spending a lot of time with my gut, who serves as my unofficial therapist. Most nights, I sneak out of the window in my rib cage and slide down my spine." This gets a little kind of weird, but it's fun. "And slide down my spine," and it's creepy like us, right? "And slide down my spine and collapse on my gut's plush leather chair that is always open for me. And I just sit and sit and sit until the sun comes down. Last evening, my gut asked me if I was having a hard time being caught between my heart and head. I nodded. I said I didn't know if I could live with either of them anymore. My heart is always sad about something that happened yesterday, while my head is always worried about something that may happen tomorrow. I lamented. My gut squeezed my hand. I just can't live with my mistakes of the past or the anxiety about in the future, I sighed. My gut smiled and said, 'In that case, you should go stay with your lungs for a while.' I was confused. The look on my face gave it away. 'If you're exhausted about your heart's obsession with the fixed past and your mind's focus on the uncertain future, your lungs are the perfect place for you. There is no yesterday in your lungs. There's no tomorrow there either. There's only now. There's only inhale. There's only exhale. There's only this moment. There's only breath. And in that breath, you can rest while your heart and your head work their relationship out. This morning, while my brain was busy reading tea leaves, and while my heart was staring at old photographs, I packed a little bag and walked to the door of my lungs. Before I could even knock, she opened the door with a smile, and a gust of air embraced me. She said, 'What took you so long?'" Isn't that cool?
That is.
Jenna sent me that, and I was like,
I wasn't quite sure where it was going in the beginning, and then
we're sliding down the spleen,
yeah,
and the spine, and
I get that. It internalizes yourself inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yep.
There's not much distance between here and here. You know what I mean? And it is really, but it can be a great divide in your body and your mind and your spirit. And
Your brain and your heart.
And that breath, the breath is the life. So it's interesting when you go into that breath. There really is. There's only that one breath at that moment. So
and you can also say with the gut talking, sometimes you got to go with your gut too.
That's right. That's one of the, I know a therapist I worked with that she said, and it might change in your body, but you kind of go in any moment, especially when you're having anxiety or fear, or you're in some kind of an emotional state, there is a seat in your body. that you can sit in, you know, just kind of imagine yourself in. And for me, a lot of times it is, it's in kind of like the root of my body or in my stomach, and I feel safest there. Like it's kind of, I don't know if it's just kind of like you feel like you're in your core. But other times it's in your head, and sometimes it's in your chest. But a lot of times, like, yeah, it's in kind of the, I call it the basement or the dungeon, you know, where you feel like you can just kind of hide away.
Sure.
But yeah, so it is, it's, but yeah, that speaks to me. And then the idea of, like I said, the breath and that meditation idea of just, you know, taking each breath and just slowing down. So, but I think that's a really cool way of looking at it.
It's hard to do for me. Oh my God. Slow down. Like what? What's that?
It is almost impossible.
And then when I slow down, I feel like I'm not accomplishing anything. So then I got to speed it back. That's where I battled
The tortoise.
You said Jenna.
She sent that to me.
Good job. That was good.
It really touched her and me.
Nice.
So,
thanks, Jenna, for sharing that.
It's like the tortoise and the hare. Right?
Again, too bad the guy's last name wasn't Wolf, but hey, it's all
right. I know. Well, we'll just say it is. Right. And
then we'll get past it.
When he comes after me legally,
No, that was good. Thanks for sharing that. That was awesome.
But yeah, but like I said, it's okay to be the tortoise and not always the hare. This is what I'm trying to say. I said that a couple times, but I'm just going to put that out
there. I'm definitely the tortoise.
Oh, I like being the tortoise. I try to be the hare, and I need to be the tortoise. But
my brain doesn't work fast enough to be the hare.
If I'm being honest,
you still accomplish, though, right? I mean,
I'll get there.
We're all still on the side of the dirt, right?
Get at your own pace, right?
Yeah,
I hear you.
Oh, so anyway, thank you guys for listening to that middle age moment.
Yeah, thanks. That was good.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. No, I'm just kidding. They're all my favorite. So. After that, we have some announcements, and the announcements are making sure that you know how to get a hold of us. You can either share stories with us, you can order merch, you can tell us how we're doing, good or bad. But that is at Mako with two A's podcast at gmail.com. So anytime you want to reach out to us, we would love that. And like I said, with merch, you can get our logo on just about anything. So you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us your order. So
have I said anything about since October is coming up? That'd be a great time to order some Mako merch.
You should say that. I don't think ever.
I'm going to throw this out there. Never. That would be a great time to wear our logo on a shirt, sweatshirt, you know.
Maybe once
long
or
sleeve,
twice.
Whatever. Nice coffee mug, you know, to warm, you know.
Have some hot wassail in it.
Yeah, a little pumpkin spice. Everybody's talking about pumpkin spice.
I'm ready for fall, right?
Yeah. I have never had it.
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We do have groups that you are welcome to join. Those things are hopping, aren't they?
We are so excited. I mean, every day.
It grew leaps and bounds just this last week, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We're I think the last time we
had your wife,
we were like maybe
had
three
kids. Here we come.
We were like at 320 something, 325, 320. Now we're like 340s.
341, I think, today.
Yeah, just like Facebook.
Heck yeah.
That's cool. So thank you guys.
Good deal.
Instagram's creeping up.
1 million for Instagram. No, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, 1 million.
Quite a bit, actually.
Instagram's creeping up too. We're like at 141 now.
It's pretty good.
And we were just at the same thing, like 120s. 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now we've gained some.
What do we do in Instagram? One
day we got
Facebook.
I told, because when I, you know, because Instagram's a lot slower building up the followers, but I told him, we were sitting there watching. I go, oh my gosh, it got a notification that there's somebody followed. So I counted in a 2 day period. I think we had like 11. I couldn't. I was like, whoa. That's how we shot from like the 120s to 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you guys it's fun. And there's a lot, like I said, I mentioned it last time.
It's awesome.
A lot more people are posting, you know.
I love it. The interaction.
Oh, I love it.
Having fun.
I love it. It's
they
great.
Come up and tell me.
That's
like,
what we wanted, guys. Yeah, exactly. That's what we wanted. Yep. So, thank you.
We want that warm feeling for all of us, right? Yep. We all need it, right? You can find us on to listen to our podcast on whatever way you want. I'm not going to list all of the stuff. Just however you want to listen to us, do it. And we love that.
And even Audible.
Audible, yes.
I found that out today.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah. So real quick.
Go ahead.
Just
go for it.
Because you were and I were talking. So yeah, Sunday at the church picnic.
I didn't know about it either.
A guy that so there's a couple that were in our home group through church. So they were at the church picnic. And I don't know how I mentioned that we had a podcast. No. They already knew. But their son didn't. And he said, oh, are you on Spotify? I go, oh, yeah. I said, we're on. Yeah, and I did kind of, you know, everywhere you can, you know, iTunes, Spotify.
You did list it for them, right?
Yeah. I go, everywhere. And he goes, well, what about Audible? And I go, you know what? That one I don't know. I said, because in my mind, I thought Audible was just books. I didn't know it was you could listen to podcasts.
Same
I said,
here.
Let me find out. So I had one of my work gigs that night. So I was taking a break, and I'm like, I'm going to look it up. We're on Audible. So Audible does, you can listen to podcasts. And so those that didn't know, so I messaged Lloyd, his dad, said, can you tell Brian that we are on Audible? He was like, yeah. So
because Audible came, there's free stuff on Audible too. You can buy stuff on Audible, but Audible can. Okay. And so we must be, I assume we're free on Audible.
That's an assumption
because I don't know.
We're on Audible.
Yeah, we're on Audible. If you're on there,
I thought Audible was just strictly books on tape. Yeah,
I did too. And I had a subscription back in the day, and loved it. But I've never been on it. Yeah, so I started doing podcasts or listening to podcasts.
We are even on Audible.
That's awesome.
Okay,
that's
sorry. Cool. I just
no, don't be sorry at all.
Okay, I won't.
So this is a good. Don't be sorry. We just want to thank you. I know that is something that we want to. This humbles us to no end that how, important this is to us and that it's becoming important to other people and our families, our friends, our loved ones, and people we have no idea on the other side of the earth. We just appreciate the heck out of you. And so big hugs there, right?
Yes.
From all of us. And one of the things that we really, from the get-go on this podcast that we want to talk about is the importance of mental health. The three of us, our families, our friends, our loved ones, and all of you guys out there, all you creepies and listeners out there, we want to make sure that you're taken good care of. And so something we want to do to put good out there is to help by giving out numbers for help. And the strongest thing that you can do is to admit that you need help and to contact somebody or to let somebody know that you're hurting and that you need help. So a couple of those numbers that can help is Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, which is 1-800-662-4357. The last four, and that's help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four, and that is talk, which that hits home for me for sure.
Yeah, that's adding the Veterans Crisis Line. I was thinking about that earlier this week, and I'm like, we need to add that. Mm-hmm. So it's the same number that's been, but our veterans, my gosh, what they go through. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how
I have no
they
idea.
Did it, do it, whatever. What they bring home with them,
yeah.
What they've seen, what they've had to do.
Yeah, some of them struggle day by day, making it through the day.
Yeah, and I've got uncles and cousins and friends, right? And it does. It's not a war that just stays where they were. It's in their head and on their.
I appreciate you doing that, by the way.
Let's add. Yeah, so thank you, veterans, wherever, whatever country that you're representing. Man, it's just I don't know. So I failed to mention that. I'm like, hey,
no.
You know,
it's much appreciated.
Yeah, and we appreciate you guys. So anyway, yeah, that's awesome. Got to make sure everybody's trying to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And however we can, I mean, in small ways.
Whatever. We love to joke, but that's about as serious as we get here on this podcast.
Oh, man.
We want you.
Yeah.
We want you living the highest quality of life you can,
Yeah.
Life's going to suck some days. It's got a lot of suck in it some days.
It does suck.
But it also has some really, really great stuff, too. And we want to be part of that great stuff.
Absolutely.
Sometimes
ups and downs and all around.
Yep. Sometimes people just need someone to teach them tools of how to get through those sucky days.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Can you
coping skills, ways to just not let it eat you alive.
Could a tool of getting through those tools would be listening to Tool? Would that ever be a
I don't see how that would hurt.
I don't think that would hurt at all. Yeah, no.
That makes sense, really.
I mean, music,
Oh, man, music is awesome.
I'm going to call Jen out on this. She went with a friend of hers to a Tool concert back in the days before
her.
And which still shocks me to this day. And she knew who they were. She said, I stayed there about 20 minutes. And I was like, I do not belong here. This is not my scene. And she left. I was like,
oh, did she?
She's like, I can't do it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's funny. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Yeah. It's funny.
No, I hope. I know we're getting a lot of, like I said, we talked about interaction on the Facebook and Instagram and people posting, and then they comment on, so if somebody sees that, they can, if it kind of helps them maybe get through the day or just a moment of nonsense, or they're upset or stress, and they see a funny little meme or post or, because it does,
brings a little sunshine in your day.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, not everybody can do this, but coming to this microphone brings it juices me. It gives me my batteries fill. I feel alive here. So I hope that when you listen to us, that you can feel that same kind of aliveness, that we
absolutely.
We're in this together. We're connected.
Yeah. Engaging into something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I know we've said
it's
this.
It's an escape
to
talk about fun, goofy, weird, creepy stuff, but then it's it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. And for, like you said, for me, oh man, I don't have a care in the world. Just hanging out with you and then knowing there's listeners around different countries and cities in the U.S. that, yeah, if they can escape for an hour and a half or whatever the episode length is, it's like,
you called Nate and I and our listeners out that you just an appreciation this week. And that meant a lot to me, but it's like, back to both of you guys and our listeners that I can't thank everybody enough. I'm glad everybody's showing up.
I know. Yeah, this is awesome. Well, I'll say again, thank you guys. Thank you, Nate and Sean, for doing this with me. Guys. And then thank you for listening. Oh, man.
It's been blessed.
I didn't know who this guy was. I had no idea, Nate. I'm like, not only is he great at what he does with the editing and the sound, but like, I met another friend out there.
Yeah.
I love it, you know? And I appreciate that more than anything. It just helps, though, that you know how to do this stuff too, Nate, right? No, I mean, but like, I felt like I've known this guy for years.
He's going to train. He's training you for the next one on the, you're doing this next. We're in big trouble.
Well, guys, that's about all we got. Episode 25, we have no more. If Todd's in charge of the editing and sound, like,
you. And we out.
and we out. No, I just love coming to this. And
I do, too. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Nate came out, I walked through the door, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? It's a happy place.
I love my wife. I love my kids.
Oh, absolutely. I love going home and hanging out.
I love this podcast and our
listeners. Just another.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. Yeah.
I do.
And it extends to people we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know. We've met people that I would consider friends through social media.
Who would have ever thought?
Hopefully this energy is traveling through the airwaves and
I
like it.
Befriending everybody.
I like even werewolves out there. You know, if you're a werewolf, you're howling at our hips. Well, anyway, that's awesome. So,
well, I've really likened
this
episode.
Yeah. Nice.
But I'm going to have to call it a wrap.
That is a pro right there.
I love
really
it.
Really likened. I mean, I knew he wasn't going to let us down.
He looked like he was thinking really hard before we got when I stepped in.
I had like three of them going through my head. I was like, okay, I'm going with that.
That's perfect. That is perfect. Oh, there's Sam. Hey, Sam. We didn't
even
say
Sammy loves it.
He's like, ah, dad came through.
Oh, Sammy's always here.
He's like, oh, my dad came through again. Well, guys, we want to thank you again for listening to episode 25. Hey, 25, so we're going to keep going. Yeah. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.